spiritually, we score only 4 out of 10, for there are planets with lives on them far, far more evolved than we are. And some of us are beginning to know who they are. And although we talk about communication, I'm sorry, I'm going on into my UFO lecture at the moment. although we talk about it taking so many light years for radio to reach such and such a planet or a galaxy where there might be human life, what the world has not recognized yet is that it is possible to communicate almost intensely, almost immediately with any part of the universe. So swift is the transference of spiritual capacity, communication. Well, I have only to repeat now what I said earlier, and that is the struggle for Kundalini is one which is a very pleasant occupation. I would like you to go away here tonight aware that Kundalini experiences are rather sweet and pleasant, and that they occur again and again in our lives. I'm going to try and give you some examples of them. Not very easy. They work better in my book that I'm writing, but I'll try and put them into language. So we say that Kundalini is a simple emerging of growth of consciousness. Some people don't need it yet, are not ready for it yet. Kundalini is bestowed by divine will. By that we mean when you are eligible for it, it is going to be yours. You won't have any say in it, but when you are eligible for it, it will be bestowed by the divine. There's no possibility of it being accidental. Have you ever been in a tense crisis where perhaps a whole carriage of you on a railway is under threat, or you're waiting for a bomb to drop? I don't know what a kid's experience today. There's not much in the way of crisis, but whatever it is. And when you're under crisis and everybody's on edge, and you look across the room and you see somebody looking towards you, and despite all the tension, you are able to signal to them that there is a link of goodwill between you, even if you just roll your eyes up to the other one to indicate, oh, we've got to see this through. At least you and I understand it, and you get a smile. That is an expression of Kundalini through what we call goodwill. Goodwill is something that has been sown into this planet through the efforts of advanced people. Alice Bailey was one who, under the instruction of her master, was able to institute various plans for the establishing of goodwill on the earth. And goodwill, the expression of goodwill, is an inflow of Kundalini. And when you can learn to do it habitually, to establish goodwill with those you come into contact, whether it's through the triangles movement, whether it's through full moon meditation, whatever device, whether it's just a look of kindness or compassion, that is what I mean, by the entry of Kundalini. Kundalini is something that emerges in an extraordinarily gifted way that is unrelated to the genetic code. Somebody has a natural capacity. Perhaps it's Navratilova in her tennis, unaccountably producing that superb natural quality of being able to observe and hit a ball. It's when there is some natural capacity. Some of us don't even know what our natural capacities are. I have been shocked in the past when I have heard from what I regard as divine sources what my best qualities are, and indeed some of my worst qualities. We are shocked because we don't know ourselves. We rush around all day long following a schedule of some sort in our lives without realizing that there are deeper qualities, and if we understood them, we could use them more effectively. One of the qualities that I have been praised for has been the ability to walk into a situation and grasp it immediately. To grasp the situation and sum it up immediately and know what to do next. It's not much, but it's been hard won through 76 years, and you have these qualities as well. There's not one of you who has not got a gifted quality somewhere in your makeup. And it will be Kundalini that will bring that extraordinary quality out. Have you ever drawn a paycheck and discovered that you've been given a bonus in it? No? Well, want to change your employer. That sort of sudden, not just greed, what can I spend it on, but just the goodwill that comes out of it, where the paycheck bonus indicates they've appreciated you, they've responded to you. Something rather nice. I told you these things would be very little, just as some of them are very intense and important as well. Then there's the person who has an incurable disease, perhaps multiple sclerosis. They've been dragging themselves around for weeks, and suddenly, out of the blue, there is a remission. They're able to run around where they could only totter before. What a wonderful experience that is. And when you get an advancement of Kundalini up the spine, that is the kind of experience that you can have, which is an indication of it. I used to love an old song that used to be sung by Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire. And they used to sing something like, "You're the tip of the top, you're my Mahatma Gandhi." Who knows the song? Yeah. That's it. That's the sort of feeling that you have when Kundalini rushes through you. Suddenly you appreciate all these characters, these things, these attitudes in your life that you had overlooked before. Well, now we're going to have question time, because time has run out. Quickly, yes. Make it an easy one, please.
You mentioned Ukraine and the outer sector. I've read or heard elsewhere that people who have headaches on a sort of fairly regular scale or whatever, if they've been beheaded in their past life. Is that right?
Oh, it's a nice thought. And the lady says, she says she's heard that people who have been beheaded in a previous life are often susceptible to headaches in this life. Well, I'd like to go along with it. It would be a very good thing for karma. But I have no evidence of that. It is true that some violence in previous lives are projected into lives to come, especially when suicide is involved. I must pass on that one. I asked you to give me an easy one.
Dr. Baker, one thought struck me when we were talking about fog and cosmic fog and so on and Kundalini. I did wonder whether it was possible, is there any connection between what is called internal combustion, where you get these people, suddenly burst into flame, and nothing else is has caught fire around. You've probably heard these cases, have you read about them?
Well, I would class that along with corn circles. Is that what you call them? I would say that it was.
Where there's no fire, no flame, no nothing is on, no electrical equipment or anything. The fire brigade go there. These things actually on television. They show you and they report.
Of course, we've heard of that many occasions. The evidence has never been really collated together from the various sources of it. Fire is an extraordinary thing. I was struck by lightning leaning against an army truck in Abyssinia and was flung 10, 15 feet unhurt. Then said to myself, well, that's it, you've been struck by lightning once, it won't happen again. It did happen again at Little Elephant. And I was standing in a treatment room with John Jackson, and we were watching this storm come over the field, and the forked lightning was down on the field again and again. And I said, my God, it's gonna hit this house. And the next moment it did. It came through the window to a steel treatment couch, struck it. Fragmented parts of the window sill, which was wood, and set the telephone cable alight. We were unhurt, but it was a shaking experience. But there was very little evidence that thing had come through a glass window and had struck the couch, and it could have come almost from anywhere if we hadn't been watching the storm. So nothing is impossible. I would like to pass on that one too. I'm not having a very good day, am I? Yes, Gloria.
Can I ask you, Dr. Baker, back to the Arjuna chakra again, and the association with migraine and perhaps the dysfunction of the Arjuna?
What is happening with the migraine and Arjuna
Center? Yes.
Not here, I can't, but I've got some very good material on it showing what kind of patterns the phenomenon takes up. It seems as if there is an overexposure to a scenario in front of you that somehow is out of resonance with the Ajna Center, and this can trigger off this particular. It's well understood in science what the actual events that occur, but why it takes up that particular shape of, for instance, the zigzag lighting around the center of the eye. We don't know, but all I know is that it's an Arjuna phenomenon. And therefore it is a fire phenomenon, no doubt about it. Well, this was the first of a series of talk on Kundalini. And I will certainly take the subject up again. I'm nearly halfway through a book on this subject, so there is a lot of material still to be given out. Questions? Yes, sir.
In the tantric part, the Tibetan, if they develop a system in which they claim you can raise the through attunement, through raising that sexual energy and raising that kundalini.
You're talking about tantric yoga?
Yes. How do you
do you want me to talk about
it? No, but just briefly, is that a way to raise it?
You've got to remember with tantric yoga is entirely physical.
Right.
There's no suggestion anywhere that any of the phenomena of tantric yoga is meant to have a subtle body a contribution, or that it is related to spiritual progress. The Tantra Yoga is the capacity to be able to produce a stimulus without diverting the consciousness in the upper part of you, and for that consciousness to be expressed more fully, so that the ecstasy of what is going on below the diaphragm can be given but a thousand times more effectively in the head region. I'm glad you brought it up there, because we have nothing to do with tantric yoga. It is surprising the number of people that do play around with it, but it insults many of the qualifications for psychosynthesis, in that you don't care who the woman is. She can be a slut from the streets, so long as she merely provides the stimulus, nothing else matters. That's contra to...
Thank you.
Questions? Yes.
It's amazing if Kundalini once in a lifetime experience, or would it happen again if you continue to raise your consciousness after it happened?
Is it purely voluntary or involuntary? Can it happen again? The answer is that it is involuntary. It will happen sometimes that you barely notice it. It will happen sometimes that you obtain a thrill. Sometimes you can feel the male fire coming down the spine and calling to the mate. Sometimes you can have a pleasant experience as a result of quite involuntarily undertaking a goodwill act. But it is not something that you can voluntarily do, except to produce the circumstances of it. That look of goodwill, that feeling of goodwill, the dissemination of joy, joie de vivre, as we call it. These things can put it together, but there are very few that can induce it. It is said that the closest way of inducing Kundalini is through sound, that the sound is can be created, which, if Kundalini is going to express itself at all, is most likely to be connected with sound. It goes back to what goes on behind the disk of the sun, from which Kundalini originally evolved. And what goes on behind the disk of the sun is that there is a noise created by the, I think it's, is that the chronosphere or the photosphere, the lower one, the roar of nuclear, thermonuclear activity behind the disk of the sun is immense, and it moves, ricochets around inside the sun. But remember, the sun is a million miles across, and the movement of sound would take a long, long time, but it does. And that is a scientific fact today, but the Hindu tradition is that the noise that the sound inside the sun makes is like Om. And when you sound the Om regularly in your preliminaries to meditation and your post-meditation activities, that by sounding the Om, you create a force field which can allow the kundalini to express itself down as far as the physical level. Hence the basis of things like mantras. Mantras sounded of a different nature, raising the kundalini to certain levels. Are we all right for time?
Yeah.
All right for time. Let me just, as you have given me that, let me just talk about something here that is very important. It's one of the dangers of kundalini arousal. The normal process of lifting kundalini is upwards, and eventually to open up chakras higher and higher up. This is the heart, this is the diaphragm, it's the heart, and the throat, and the head. We say that if you have three chakras, solar plexus, if you have three chakras, that's the base of the spine, and the sacral center, sexual chakra, and the solar plexus chakra. Man has, treading the path, has five chakras expressing. When you tread the path and you tread it in earnest and you do the disciplines for it, then it is necessary for you to stop expressing one of these chakras. That one's always got to be expressed because it is the alter ego of the thousand-petaled lotus, so that remains. One of these two, either the sexual chakra or the emotional chakra, has to be surrendered. By that we mean that it is no longer a focus of attention, and instead the throat center, the energy is transferred to the throat center. When you have got three centers above the diaphragm, then the spiritual disciplines will be more effective. Some people find that very hard. Some people think that they can get away with what I call burning the candle at both ends. And that is what I mean by a candle burning at both ends. And when this happens, the person is not celibate, and is even extending the activity of the sacral center, then there occurs the phenomenon of energy leaving the throat and going down to the sacral center. And when that occurs, and this solar plexus emotional center donates its energy, and so does the base of the spine, or muladhara, and the result is that this energy, rather this chakra, is swallowing up all the energy. And in men, the result of that is usually cancer of the prostate. Cancer of the prostate gland. So there are warnings, dangers of attempting to maintain a normal or excessive sexual life whilst treading the path and trying to raise energies up into the higher centers. In women, the effect of that is that there is gross fattening of the areas around the hips. Gross fattening of the area, because again the energies are streaming down into this area and not getting up to the higher. Sorry about all that, but I have a list of current cancer of the prostate of spiritual people. Spiritual people who believe that they can maintain the ordinary way of life without making the necessary sacrifices. And my list includes Archbishop Tutu, Lord Olivier, Michael Benteen, Joseph Busby, Ken Shipman, and the Pope is suspected. But it is a fairly rational thing. Cancer of the prostate is the second biggest killer of cancer deaths in men. I said that right? Cancer of the lungs is the greater. Questions?
If man's nuclear explosion is a manifestation of planetary kundalini,
how does it manifest?
Is it an expression of kundalini?
Lightning.
But not nuclear devices.
You said planetary kundalini. Do you mean as an entity, as the planet Earth is an entity on its own, as a logos? Or did you mean?
Yes, if nuclear explosions were a manifestation of planetary kundalini.
Yeah. But then you've read that. Nothing wrong with it, but... If you take the planet Earth as the base of the spine representing the mineral kingdom, the planetary entity, the base of the spine representing the mineral kingdom, the sacral center, the plant kingdom, the solar plexus chakra, the animal kingdom, and humanity as being the throat chakra of that being, for the first time in the history of the planet, humanity, the throat chakra, was stimulating the Muladhara chakra of the planet. We were beginning to deliberately release energy from the root or Muladhara chakra of the planet through nuclear fission. Fortunately, the enlightened humanity, that's Ajna, what we call the the intelligentsia of the planet formed the Ajna center, and it was through the good sense, the good will, the good intentions of the intelligentsia of the planet that this whole matter of releasing base of the spine energy of the planet by nuclear fission was kept under control. The higher center managing the emission of kundalini from the planetary chakra. The lovely exercise in expanding, which is another kundalini arousing factor, to be able to see not only your own kundalini problems, but to see the kundalini of humanity, to see the kundalini of the planet, to see the kundalini of the solar system and of that of the universe. And all these expansions, like what we've just done, from microcosm to macrocosm, are part of the process. You see, the kundalini that we're drawing on the planet, has been put there by forms in ancient days, from ancient times. Every person who has lived or form that has lived on the planet leaves behind a residue of kundalini fire, which is planetary, aroused planetary prana, leave some behind. And the saints and the great religious figures and people have left behind some kundalini factors. And those of us who are highly developed spiritually enough inherit them. And that's where the kundalini of the highest order that can go up comes into the planet from the core of the galaxies. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your support this afternoon. Maybe we can make the future lecture here, and that's the UFO one, and the one on angels equally successful, and we can go buoyantly on into the rest of the year. Thank you very much for coming.